and I want to give a shout out. There's a certain guy that says, man, will you give me a shout out sometime? So I'm giving a shout out right now to a guy named Mike Scotthorn, okay? Mike is my brother-in-law, and he's like, that's the only way he'll listen. So Mike, we love you, brother. So are we okay with that? But I'm going to give a shout out to everyone in the room. We love you so much. So Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. We thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we're so grateful that you are faithful. Lord, I love that last song, just declares your faithfulness. And Lord, help us to be people that even when we're in the fires of life, Lord, that we don't get down like the rest of the world, but we begin to sing songs of praise. And it's in our praise your presence comes. And Lord, you begin to do stuff in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, I'm so thankful in a challenging week that we've experienced this week. We are so thankful that as people of God, that we know that we serve you, Father. You are a sovereign God. You are El Shaddai, God Almighty. And Lord, we're so thankful that we can connect ourselves to you. And more importantly, you connect yourself to us. And Lord, whatever we go through, Lord, you have us in your hands. Just reading through the Psalms this week, and the psalmist saying that heaven is your throne, and this earth that we live on is simply your footstool. That's how powerful, that's so awesome you are. But God, even though we are your footstool, you take care of each and every one of us. As we read in Matthew, just as you take care of the lilies of the valleys, you take care of us, and you meet all of our needs. And everybody that's excited about that, let's give some praise to God this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for those who are excited this morning. Okay. Anyway, I want to welcome you to Journey Church. Thanks for being with us today in the room, out of the room. And I want to begin today, and I want to begin by introducing to you what is a law. And I want to introduce to you a law. It's called the law, let me make sure I get this right, of entropy. I hope I got that right, the law of entropy. And you say, well, what is that law of entropy all about? Well, the law of entropy states, listen to this law, it states that everything left to themselves will, so let me stop there, everything left to itself, meaning no attention's given to it, or it's ignored, everything left to itself, two things are going to happen. That it will degenerate and it will become useless. So let me read that again. The law of entropy states that things left to themselves will degenerate and become useless. I thought about that in the physical realm. If we have a muscle that we don't use, how many people know that sooner or later that muscle will degenerate and become useless? So that's why it's important, especially as we get older, that we're continually moving, okay? We're continually exercising and sometimes working out a little with weights. Why? Because if those muscles are ignored and left to themselves, they begin to degenerate and become useless, okay? I thought about that in our minds. It's very important that we continue to use the mind that God has given us, okay? So especially once again, as we get older, we can't just veg out in front of TV, but we need to continue to read, whatever it is you need to do, maybe a crossword puzzle, anything to get your mind engaged so that it doesn't become degenerated and useless and fruitful, okay? But that's not why I'm here to talk. I'm here to talk today because I want to introduce you to what I'm calling, and it's called the, I'm calling the spiritual entropy, okay? That is when we refuse to give attention to spiritual things, okay? It's when we refuse to give attention to our spiritual development. And here's the thing, gang, about spiritual entropy. And I want you to listen into this because I'm very passionate about that. This, and that is that spiritual entropy impacts, first of all, at its first layer, it impacts people. It impacts you and I. But it doesn't stop there. It continues to grow and it begins to impact families. And it doesn't stop there. It snowballs and it begins to impact whole churches. And actually, I want to let you know it doesn't even stop with the church, but it goes into cities and states and into countries. So we need to be very careful that we guard against spiritual entropy, or because it's such a big deal. And I want to share with you today a great example of this, and a great example of this in the life of a church, in the life of a spiritual body, is in 2 Kings chapter 22. I don't want you to pull out your Bible right now. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to give you a brief overview of what happens in 2 Kings chapter 22. And the reason I'm going to share this is because if you're not careful as a person, as a family, if we're not careful as a church, this can happen to us. And it's very important that we allow it, we make sure it doesn't. And that is, if you were to look into 2 Kings chapter 22, we find the temple. The temple was the place where the people of God came to worship God, okay? It was a physical structure. And in 2 Kings chapter 22, we see that the temple is in disrepair, meaning it's literally falling apart after years and years. So how did they respond? What they did is they did exactly what we did. What they did is they called for a board meeting, and all the board members got together, and what they did is they decided to take out a loan. And they took out a loan because they said, hey, we got to be good stewards of what God has given us. We got to take care of this place. But what they did is, so they went out and they began to purchase stones and they began to purchase timber. Why? For the restoration of the temple. Has everybody got that so far? So far, so good. So here's what happened. They're in this great remodeling, restructuring program. They're getting everything together. And while they're working on the temple, lo and behold, while they're out there, is they come upon this amazing discovery. And the discovery they come upon is someone finds a copy of Scripture. They find a copy of the Word of God, okay? So apparently what has happened up to this point in time is that the spiritual leaders of the temple were doing great in the day-to-day activities of running the temple, while all along the Word of God was collecting dust on a shelf. It was unseen, it was unused, it was forgotten altogether. So in other words, what was happening, the people of Jerusalem, they had continued to observe the ceremonies and the traditions of worship without really knowing what they were even doing. So let me translate that to today. It would be like us coming to church. It would be like us watching online, because many people are doing that today. But all along, what's happening is we're simply going through the motions. We're simply doing what we're supposed to do on a Sunday morning. We're just going through the motions. There's no real impact. Why? Because there's this danger of falling into spiritual entropy, meaning something is not being used. It's been ignored. The spiritual life of our individual selves is being neglected. So why do I bring this up? And I want you to hear me clearly. I bring this up because if you and I aren't careful, is everybody listening? If we're not careful, we as individuals, we as whole families, we as a church can certainly, can easily fall into this trap of what I call spiritual entropy all over again. It can happen right now where we live. And the danger is when we fall into spiritual entropy, we can become useless. And no one in here wants to be considered useless for God's work. We can become fruitless. We can become non-relevant. We can no longer be change agents. So here's my quest, and my quest for us as a church, and what I want to do in the next 3 weeks, and actually it may go a little longer because God's stirring something in my heart already for next week. And I'm thinking, Lord, is that really where you want us to go? And I'm thinking he's saying yes. So I'll let you know next week as God and I go into a wrestling match, okay? So I want you to come back next week. It's going to be real good regardless of what direction we go to. Does that sound good to everyone? So that's what we want to do. So what I want to do is I want to come up with what you could say, what is my vision for 2021? What is my vision? What is God kind of showing me for us as a church, the direction that he wants us to go as we begin this journey into a new year? And what I want to do today is I want to introduce you to what I'm calling the triangle model of ministry. The triangle model of ministry, okay? So you're going to hear this a lot this year, the triangle model of ministry. I want you to hear that real close. Hear it again. The triangle model of ministry. Can we say that together? the triangle model of ministry. Everybody, even online, the triangle model of ministry, okay? Which is also my vision for 2021. And I want to give credit to where credit's due. This didn't originate with me. This actually originated with a guy named Mike Breen, who talked about this issue that we're going to look at today. So I want to let you know I'm not stealing this. I'm borrowing it, and we're going to use it together, okay? So what I want to do is I want to introduce to you to this triangle model of ministry, which is simply going to be a blueprint that we focus on, that focuses on what? The three relationships of Jesus, okay? The three relationships with Jesus while he was doing his ministry here on earth. So I hope you see this triangle quite a bit this year, and I want to introduce it to you for the very first time, the triangle model of ministry. So you see, a triangle is made up of three corners, three points, and the first one is up. And up, what this represents that the relationship that Jesus had with his Father. I want you to write that down, the relationship that Jesus had with his Father. And by the way, it's our relationship with God, okay? And we're going to talk about that a little later. Then we work our way into the left-hand corner, and that is the word in. And this is the relationship that Jesus had with his chosen followers, those 12 disciples. And then if you read scripture, there was probably 72 disciples, but those closest, it's talking about his relationship with his followers. And for us, this means our relationship to one another. And maybe next week, at least by 2 weeks, we're going to talk about that, our relationship with one another. And I'll just let the cat out of the bag a little to say this. I want our relationship with one another as a church family to grow stronger this year than ever before. And we've got some ideas of how that's going to work, what that's going to look like. So we'll talk about that in the weeks ahead. Then we look at the third part of the triangle. It's called out. And this is the relationship that Jesus had with the hurting people around him, the hurting people in his world. And this represents our relationship with the world. And I want to let you know, I believe that God's calling Journey Church. I believe that God's calling you as an individual not to stay in the friendly confines of this room and in this church family, which is great, but I'm really believing that God's really going to call us out this year like never before at new levels. God's going to call us out where we're going to be a church that we're going to be impacting. We're going to make a difference in the community, in our state, and in the world. So there's going to be some exciting weeks ahead, and I'm going to share with you ways that you can individually get involved with your world that God has placed you in. But I don't want to jump ahead, but this is going to be so, so good. So there's the triangle I want you to look at, and that's what we're going to focus on this year. We're going to focus on up, we're going to focus on in, and we're going to focus on out, okay? So what I want to do is just let you know all three of those relationships that Jesus had with the world when he was ministering, all three of those relationships are talked about in one chapter of the Bible, and that is Luke chapter 6. So if you want to look at that chapter in the weeks ahead, go ahead, but I'm going to just share different parts of that chapter with us as we go on this journey, because I really believe that this is what God is calling us to do. So let's begin today by looking up, by looking up. And as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, the focus here is our relationship with God. The focus here is your relationship, my relationship, all of our relationship with God. So I want to begin this morning by asking you a very, very important question. And I don't want you to give me the church answer. I don't want you to say anything loud. I want you to process this answer to this question in your heart. And I want you to be honest with yourself. And I want you to really think about your answer before you respond. And for some of you, it may take a few days to respond to this question. And I want to let you know that's okay. That's okay. But the question that I want to throw out in front of you this morning, that I want you to just put in the crock pot of your life and let it marinate, and that is this. Do you believe that God desires to have a relationship with you? There's some people, of course. There's some people, they're like, oh, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it at times. But I really want you to, even if you need to write that down, do I believe that God wants to have a relationship with me? I tell you what, the answer to that question says a lot. It says a lot. It makes a world of difference. And I want to let you know the answer to that question is certainly yes. And that is God, the Creator, the Eternal One, the one who calls himself El Shaddai, God Almighty. He wants to have a relationship with you in 2021. And you say, Mike, how can you be so sure that God wants to have a relationship with me? You seem so sure about it. You seem so confident about it. How do you know that? Well, I know that because I read the Gospels. And I think I'm getting a better understanding of the Gospel and what that is as I get older. And the Gospel is this, guys. The Gospel is really simple. We've complicated it. And the Gospel is that God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus. Is everybody here? He sent his son Jesus to come to earth. He sent his son, and you need to understand, this is very important, born of a virgin. Very important to our theology. Born of a virgin. So he sent his son, born of a virgin, Mary, and he sent him for one reason. And it wasn't his agenda. It was the assignment that God had for his son, Jesus. And the assignment that God had for his son, Jesus, is I want you to live this pure, perfect, holy, sinless life because the ultimate is you're going to go to the cross. And the reason why you're going to go to the cross is you're going to do for people what they could never do for themselves. And that is you're going to die for their sins. And the story doesn't end with the death of Jesus and him dying on the cross. We've already celebrated him coming. Now we're going to celebrate his death on the cross here in a few months. But after his death, we know that 3 days later, how many people know what happened? We know that Jesus rose again from the dead. And his resurrection is validation that God accepted the work of Jesus on the cross. And why did God do all this? God did all this because, I want to make sure you know this, God did all of this because he wants to have a relationship with you. That blows me away that God the Creator, who spoke and things that were not there came into existence, he wants to have a relationship with you. And here's how it starts. We look back and now we have a choice to make. And the choice is this, once we repent of our sins, because it starts with repentance. Once we repent of our sins and turn to Jesus Christ in faith, in trust, and say, you're my Savior, I want to let you know that at that moment, we call it justification, meaning that at that moment, once you repent of your sins and put your faith in Christ, you are justified just like that by placing your faith and trust in Jesus as the Savior of your life. And I trust that we've all done that. And if you have not done that, this is the biggest decision of your life. It's everything. It not only impacts your life here, it's going to impact your life for eternity. Because I believe that when we die, it's not the end. It's simply a transition. And the transition will be, where will you spend eternity. That is huge. That is not something we should just kind of shun, but that's something that should get all of our attention because it means everything. Has everybody got that this morning? It means everything. But here's the deal. That relationship starts just upon our repentance, our confession of Christ, but I want to let you know that's only the beginning of a relationship that God wants to have with you. And I liken it to our physical birth. For me, I was born on March 14th, 1964, okay? Wow. But how many people know I'm not the same person I was on March 14th, 1964? How many people are thankful for that? Heather doesn't have to change my diapers. Maybe yet. Lord, take me out before then. Take me out before then. Since then, I've learned how to speak, kind of. I've learned a lot of things. You've learned a lot of things. Wouldn't it be foolish if 56 years later, I was still the person I was on March 14th, 1964? How many people would say that would be crazy? Now let's relate that to our spiritual life. Think back to the day you said yes to Jesus. Great day. That's called your spiritual birthday. My spiritual birthday took place, I don't know the exact date, but it was in my fifth grade year of school. I remember the Baptist pastor shaking that big bony finger and preaching salvation, and little Mike got up and he ran to the altar, literally. I ran to the altar crying and weeping. God, save a fifth grade sinner. I'm a wretched person. I need salvation. But I tell you what, that was only the beginning. And I'm here to tell that to everyone here this morning and express, God, that was only the beginning for you. But God has something big that he wants to do in our life, okay? So how does our relationship with God grow? How does that happen? Well, we're going to look to Luke chapter 6, because in this whole journey of this triangle, I want to let you know Jesus Christ is our example. Jesus is our example, and he shows us how we grow with God. So let's look at one verse today, Luke 6. We're going to talk about that, our relationship with God. Here's our verse, Luke 6, because that's going to be our text for the whole series. It says, one day, soon after Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. How many people know that if Jesus had to pray, I need to pray? Amen? He's fully God, fully man. He's the Son of God. Jesus went to the mountain to pray, and he prayed to God, it says, all night, all night. So what we see here is that Jesus spent all night in prayer. And the reason why Jesus spent all night in prayer is because Jesus placed such a high priority on his relationship with his Father. He placed such a high value. Actually, Scripture says many times, Jesus says, I don't do anything on my own. I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only do what God says to do on my assignment. And that's really what it's supposed, not really, that's what it's supposed to be for you and I. And that is that we come to this place where we spend time in God in prayer so he can reveal. And the reason why he placed such high priorities is because his relationship with God, and I said that. So here's what we learn from this. We learn if we're going to grow, we're going to have to place a high priority on our relationship with God. I want to say that again. If you and I are going to grow and be all that God called us to be, and if you could see what God called you to be, you would be so thrilled. You would be so excited. You would be elevated right now. I mean, you would be pumped, okay? And I just want to say this to you this morning, that if we're going to grow, we're going to have to place a high priority in spending time with God. We're going to have to place a high priority, not just pastors, not just deacons, not just certain Christians. God says, I want you all to place a high priority in coming to know me, coming to have a relationship. So how can we do this? How do we spend time with God? And we kind of talked on this last week, and we're not going to go too deep into it again, but how do we spend time with God? How do we prioritize and spend time with God? You know a lot of the answers if you've been in church for more than 2 weeks. First of all, the reading of God's word. God has given us his word to read, to reveal who he is to us. That's how God speaks to us. Another way that we can spend time with God is through prayer. God wants us to be people of prayer. By the way, prayer is two-faceted. It's talking and speaking and sharing with God, asking, but it's also listening, where we believe that God wants to speak, so we want to listen, okay? Another way we get closer to God, and you're doing it here this morning, you're coming into his house. You're coming into his house to worship and to praise and to hear a message. Another way you could get closer to God is simply by taking a walk. How many people like to walk? I love to walk. I mean, I love just going up to, Hoffman Park, that big hill behind Hoffman Park. Right after a snow, you walk those trails, and it's like, God, you're here. And it's so awesome. We can take a walk. You can get close to God by listening to music. You can get close to God by being with what we called last week a faith-filled friend. You can talk. You can get closer to God by simply, and some of us, I know I do, this would be huge, and that is just sitting in silence. Our life is so noisy. There's so many distractions. How many people know you can get close to God just by sitting and saying, God, here's your servant, speak to me. Let me to hear what you have to say. So that's ways that we can get close to God. But here's my observation over the years. And this is an observation that is directed towards all of us. And that is that many of us, including myself, have good intentions. We sit in a church service where the Spirit of God is moving. I had so many people last week come to me and say, man, God did something in my heart last week. God connected. I was getting texts. Where can I find a Bible? How do you study? I mean, I was getting all these. It was a great week. And we have these great intentions that we want to spend time with God. But if you're anything like me, you discover that you fall short at times. You fall short of what you want to be. Does anybody else find that to be true? You fall short of that goal, that thing that you want to be. You want to spend time with God. And see, why do people fall short? If you were to ask people why they fall short of spending time with God, I think the number one answer would be because I don't have enough time. Man, Mike, if you saw my schedule, it starts as soon as I wake up and I'm moving until my hit the bed again. I'm moving all day. I'm a busy person. But what if I told you this? What if I told you that it's not a time issue? What if I told you it's not a time issue? But what if I told you it was a focus issue? I want you to write that down. It's not a time issue. It's a focus issue. See, the truth is, we so easily get distracted. I love what the word distraction means. It means a drawing of the mind in different directions. How many people have a mind like that? Thank you for honest people. I know that's the way it is with me. You're just being drawn in different directions. As soon as you stop, pause, your mind begins to go 101 different directions. So we get distracted. So what I want to do in the remaining time we have this morning is I want to, for the next few minutes, I want to touch on one big step that we can take to overcome the distractions that keep us from spending God. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write down these two words, to overcome distractions, and that is that you're going to have to learn to eliminate distractions. If we're serious about going after God and we say, God, I want to know you better, I want my relationship to grow with you, there's got to come a time where we got to learn how to eliminate distractions, because the truth is, we all know this, there are many different distractions in the world that we live in. Am I speaking truth? Distractions are everywhere. I have found out that one of the biggest distractions that many of us have is something that we keep close to us all the time. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? If you have it with you, put it in the air. I left mine at home today because God is moving. No, and that's right, it's our phones. It's our phones. I want to read to you some statistics that are going to get your attention. And that is, according to the Business Insider, they did a research. Here's what they found out about the distraction of your phone. The average person touches their phone. And I find this hard to believe, but they did the research. I didn't. The average person touches their phone 2,600 times a day. And I have a feeling we have some above average people in this room. Above average people. They say above average people touch their phone more than 5,400 100 times in a 24-hour span. How many people know that just sounds crazy? That just sounds crazy, like, God, I want to spend time, but I just don't have time. And God's, well, is it a time issue or a distraction issue? They say the average person is on social media, the average. And like, again, we may have above average people here because we are a above average church of great people, right? The average person is on social media almost 2.5 hours, and it's not every week, gang. It's every day. Think about that. 2.5 hours of your day, each day this week, was spent on that phone. That's why sometime when we're driving down the road, I want to take the phone, put the window down, and just chuck it. Wouldn't that feel good? By the way, my boys hate when I tell them this. When we grew up, we didn't have phones. But how many people know we still had distractions? It's just nowadays this is the big distraction, okay? And this is just one of the many distractions that we have to deal with. Here's other distractions that I've discovered in the world that I live. Video games. By the way, not me personally. I think I've probably put an hour of my life into video games up to this point. So don't judge me, okay? But video games. I used to think this was just for kids, but I'm hearing of adults, video games. TV can be a distraction. For me, it's sports on TV. Do I really need to watch 3 NFL playoff games yesterday? I mean, let's just be, do I really need to spend, what would that be, about 3 times 3? What is that, 9? 9 hours. I didn't, so once again, don't judge me, okay? I'm just sharing the word with you this morning. But I can't tell you how many times I thought to myself, you know what, I could probably watch a quarter of that game and get the best parts, you know what I mean? And I'm not here condemning, because this is something we all go through. I'm just saying that these distractions are real. These distractions, and we didn't even talk about computers. I know for me, one of the biggest distractions, and I'll be very transparent with you, one of my biggest distractions recently is something that I just discovered, to be honest with you, in the last 6 months, actually 3 months. And some of you won't believe it, but that's called YouTube. You're like, where have you been? Well, I haven't been on YouTube until all this craziness started going on. Now I know everything. By the way, I know every conspiracy theory. If you want to know about it, come and see me. I'll give you all the details. And I got people every day. Yesterday, I probably got about 5 or 6 messages. Did you hear this? Did you see this? And I said, on Friday, it was almost like if I listened and watched every text that came my way that people are suggesting for me to watch, I would not have done a bit of work. How many people, you don't want your pastor to do just a bit of work, right? But that's those distractions that just come. And here's the tragedy, those distractions. And sometimes we're not talking about bad things, but how many people know sometimes good things can keep us from the best thing? And I want to say that one more time. Good things can keep us from the best things. And I don't want to miss the best things. I don't want us, you, to miss the best thing. So here's what I'm suggesting as we close this morning. That is to come up with a plan. To come up with a plan to eliminate some of the distractions that could possibly be keeping us from what's most important. Come up with a plan. What am I going to do that's keeping me from spending time with God? Because I want to let you know God is crazy about you. God loves you. And he wants to spend time with you. So you need to come up with a plan. Just yesterday, Saturday, January the 9th, just yesterday, I had an opportunity to speak with a sharp young guy that I consider very sharp. And here's the thing about this young guy. He's only in his 20s, but he has a heart for God. And this guy has such a heart for God that he says, you know what? My goal is I really want to spend more time with God. And so in our discussion, in our talk, you know what he said? He said, this is what I'm doing is I'm beginning to fast. I said, well, that's interesting. Talk to me about your fast. And he said, it's not a food fast. I'm not fasting from food. But what he said, and he said, there's two things. He said, number one, I'm fasting from video games. Guy in his 20s, I'm fasting from video games. Why? Because I want to spend more time with God. Number two, he said, I thought this was good. He said, I want to fast from a certain genre of music. And his genre of music is rap music. How many people know that wouldn't be hard for me, but certainly hard for somebody in their 20s? Why? Does he want to be legalistic? No. This is why, because there's a heart behind the action. The heart behind the action is this world is hard, it's difficult, it's challenging, but there's a God who wants to spend time with me. And as we spend time with God, there's things that he wants to reveal about himself to me. And I tell you what, for a guy that's in his early 20s, I'm like, I am so proud of you. I'm so proud of you for saying, I will eliminate these distractions to get closer to God. And I think all of us, we need to set a plan. So one of the things I had to do this week is I had to take my iPad, because that's where my app is for YouTube, and I had to hide it from myself. So I put it in this closet and put it under some things, because I just felt like God saying, that's your deal, Mike. That's the thing you got to shut down so you can spend more time with me. And I want to let you know today that God is crazy about you, and he wants to spend time with you. So as we go into a new week and we leave here in just a few minutes, I want to challenge you to do some homework this week and get bold enough and get challenging enough to say, God, what is it in my life? What steps do I need to take? What distractions are getting so big in my life that it's keeping me from spending time with you? And this is going to look different for all of us. And I can't give you the answer of what you need to do. That's between you and God. And it might be something totally different. But if I could just show you that, and my concluding question in my notes is, this question, I think, is why is it so important that we spend time with God? And I want to let you know the benefits are endless. The benefits are priceless. But I think there's one that stands out above the rest, and that is the truth that the creator of the universe loves you. The creator of the universe loves you. And I want to let you know he desires, he yearns for you to step out of the distractions and to spend time with him. And I want to let you know it's as we spend time with him that he begins to do some pretty incredible things. And it begins to line us up for his blessings in our lives. Amen? And that's what I got for you this morning. But before I conclude, I need to ask you a question. And I would appreciate your response either on the video chats and even in this room. And that is, how many of you, since you become a believer, a follower of Jesus, how many people have ever been taught how to study the Word of God, how to read the Word of God? If that's you, if somebody ever sat down and taught you how to read God's Word, how to study, raise your hand right now. That's fantastic. That's awesome. But there's a lot of people, that's what keeps them from spending time in His Word. They've never been taught how to. We might talk about that next week. We'll see what happens. But I want to encourage you. I want to continue to just keep it in front of us as we go into this year. for us to look at this triangle, the triangle, the model of ministry. And here's my heart for us as a church, that you, me, us, that we're going to be focused on the up, our relationship with God, like never before. And I really believe that God has some special things that he wants to share with you, with me, with us, as we spend time focusing on the up. Amen?